I'd like you to turn to John chapter 7 in your Bibles. And today is Pentecost Sunday. And as Linda mentioned, 500 million followers of Jesus are going to be meeting at some point today all around the world, small groups, big groups, in stadiums, and what's called the Global Day of Prayer. And it started with a gentleman in South Africa that just felt that he wanted to pray for a city of Cape Town. There was lots of violence, and I don't know if you remember, about 15 years ago, a lot of explosions and terrorist stuff was taking place in Cape Town and specifically targeting American businesses like KFC and places like that. And this gentleman, as a businessman, just realized that's not good for my business if other businesses are exploding. And so he gathered people to pray for the city of Cape Town. And they hired a stadium. They had so many people come, and other cities said, well, can we pray for our city next year? And so the next year, they prayed for other cities in South Africa, and the next year it went to be all South Africa, and within like 3 years, it went around the world, and God's hand's been on that. So I do want to encourage you, if you have opportunity of coming this afternoon, it's Faith, is it 2? Where's Faith? 2:30 start, right here in the main auditorium. And want to encourage you, it's lots of prayer, it's intercession, it's worship, it's a full, like, four-hour program. And I want to encourage you to just hang out if you can for any of that. John chapter 7 is a very interesting little statement. Let me back up and talk about Pentecost real quick. Pentecost basically means 50, and it's the 50th day after the Passover. And so Easter Sunday to now is 50 days. And in the Old Testament, it's not a highly celebrated day, but in the Jewish tradition, today is the day that the Ten Commandments were given by Moses to the people. And so it is like a minor, it's not a big holiday, but it is a day that's remembered in the Jewish calendar. Of the 50th day after Passover is when Moses received the Ten Commandments, the revelation of what distinguished Israel. Do you know that no other nation in the world had a system of laws at that time? Israel was the only nation that had a system for laws. And that part of that was to define them as being such an interesting and unique people group that the other nations would be drawn to them to say, well, this is amazing. We actually hadn't thought of having rules. And so anarchy was reigning everywhere else except in Israel, and where God's order was beginning to come, where there was graciousness and mercy and all those kind of things beginning to come. And it began as Moses had that revelation of the Ten Commandments. And so that's what in the Jewish calendar is today. However, the Christian holiday of Pentecost, which, do you know that in like Europe, almost every European nation celebrates Pentecost as a holiday? How many of you are from Europe? It's a holiday, and so tomorrow people will be having a day off work there. We get to celebrate Queen Victoria's birthday, which even the English don't celebrate. Woohoo! Yay for Canada. Coming up with famous people birthdays. I'm waiting to the day when, you know, like Steve Long becomes so famous that there's Steve Long Day, which will be May 3rd. So just write that down. And 100 years from now, there'll be Steve Long Day and maybe Sandra Long Day, which is April 24. But Steve Long Day would be May 3rd. Anyways, on Pentecost, let me back up. When Jesus is with his disciples, he says, you need to wait and pray and just wait for the release of the Holy Spirit. And they don't know, but it turns out to be 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. And we have that wonderful story in Acts chapter 2. But it sort of begins in John chapter 7 in another feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a fun feast. The Feast of Tabernacles was a all-expenses party. 7 days, buffets paid for by the government, all of your alcohol paid for by the government, and people would camp out. And so today, you'd get your tent, and you'd go to Algonquin Park. You'd park it in Mel Lastman Square downtown. People would just put tents everywhere in their backyards or front yards, wherever. And people just had a free holiday week, all expenses paid, because part of your tithes in the Old Testament, a third, by the way, people just didn't give 10% in the Old Testament. They gave 10% to the priest. They gave 10% to the nation, which went for caring for the widows and orphans. They gave 10% for the festivals, the feasts that they would have. And so when it came time for the feast, everything's paid for, courtesy of the government, courtesy of your tithes that went in, and so you're getting your money back. And in the middle of this, on the very last day of free alcohol, Jesus stands up in verse 37, John chapter 7, he says, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, meaning the last day to get free food and free alcohol, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice. Why a loud voice? Everyone else is talking. And he said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So Jesus gives this obscure little statement of, hey, if you're thirsty, come to me. Well, I don't know that people are thirsty, because it's free alcohol. It's free fruit punch. It's free mango juice or whatever they would have in those days that they're serving. It's free. And Jesus stands up and gives this prophetic statement, basically saying, if you're thirsty, over here. And it would appear that people came to him and were going, like, they're really intrigued, because the verses following, the people said, well, he has to be a prophet. Well, he has to be the Messiah. Just because of the depth of it. Maybe if you had a few drinks of alcohol, maybe you're going, boy, that was really profound. That was really, oh, boy, that's deep. But the commentary that John writes, now John is writing this book is probably written around 85 years A.D., so 30, 40 years after Jesus has ascended, this book is written. So John's got some perspective on life. He already knows that Acts chapter 2 happens. He has seen the book of Acts. He's witnessed it. He's lived it. And so now you have John, who's probably a 90-year-old man, and he's writing his memoirs. He's writing the story of Jesus. And he writes very different because Matthew, Mark, and Luke are already written. They're bestsellers. And he's writing different stuff that the other guys didn't write about. So 90% of what John writes isn't in the other books. And he talks about this passage that is just here, that Jesus stood up on a festival and said, if you're thirsty, come to me. And then look what John says in the next verses after that. Verse 39, by this statement, if anyone's thirsty, come to me, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Acts chapter 2, John chapter 20. Up until that time, the Spirit had not been given. So nobody is really moving in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, just Jesus. Remember at his baptism, Holy Spirit filled him. So when the disciples are sent out, I don't know how that functioned. Were they just functioning under Jesus' authority? Were they just, was it sort of like a borrowed anointing for a day, for 2 weeks, as they went out in the twos? I don't know how that happened, because this verse says no one's got the Holy Spirit yet. And it says this meant, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. That's a very interesting little statement. I want you to think about this. The success of Jesus' ministry was all about the Holy Spirit. Every person that was healed, everybody that had a miraculous event happen, the food multiplied, walking in the water, great speeches, great sermons, all of that was because of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. Would you agree with me on that? He functioned at a higher level than anyone else who's been functioning at that time. Better prophet than any other prophet had been there, better teacher, better rabbi, better than everything. And it's because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in his life. And no one else has functioned in that level because the Spirit's not been released yet. And John says that there was this hidden rule that nobody knew about, that Jesus actually cannot give away the Holy Spirit and really is hindered from talking about the Holy Spirit and clearly declaring who the Holy Spirit is until after he's been glorified, after he has been raised from the dead and now he's in his glorified body. And if you read through the scriptures, you'll find out that just before Jesus died, as he's having the Last Supper with his 12, and then it's 11. As he's having a meal with these guys and then goes for a walk towards the garden into the Mount of Olives and is teaching them. And so we have John 14, 15, and 16. Three chapters all about the Father's love and the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 14, verse 20, is the one who brings the Father's love to you. So the passage, or what Jesus is teaching, he saves it till the very last night before he's going to die. This amazing teaching about how wonderful the Holy Spirit is. He's going to be a teacher. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be your guide. You just need to have him. But Jesus is not allowed to say it until the very night. And even then, he doesn't use the word Holy Spirit. He uses other phrases like teacher and comforter. when the one who comes on you. And so he's bound by this rule, I guess, that God gave him and said, you really can't talk about the Holy Spirit. Not yet. And so he's hinting about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And guess what Jesus did? The very first thing that he did when he's with his disciples after he's raised from the dead. Do you know what that was? Look at John chapter 20. Flip over there real quick. John chapter 20. The first thing he says is peace, because they're freaked out of their minds. They're thinking they're going to die. John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, on a Sunday, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. These guys are not in a good place. They're thinking they killed Jesus. They're after us. They're going to get us as well. And if you remember, the scriptures had already said that there was an arrest warrant out for Jesus, and it would appear for the other disciples, anyone who's a follower of Jesus. That's one of the reasons why everyone ran when Jesus was arrested. They don't want to be seen. They just get out of there as quick as they can. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed. Do you know what overjoyed means? They are laughing so much they're crying. They're crying so much they're laughing. They can't believe it. Oh my goodness. You ever had one of those things where you laugh so much you cry and you cry so much you laugh? That's what overjoyed means. You're past it. I was watching the, I skipped out of our family thing yesterday to go down and watch a little bit of the hockey game and a little bit of the soccer game that was on. And I had a nephew with me and a brother-in-law with me, so that was okay. We're family. We're tight. And we're watching as Inter Milan beat Bayern Munich in the Champions League match yesterday. And as they're holding up the trophy, Inter Milan's holding up the trophy, one of the guys on Inter is just undone. Like, he's just crying and laughing, and you could just see the guy's emotionally gone. Overjoyed. That's that word. Changes your life, this kind of stuff. And so the Bible says this, they're overjoyed, and Jesus said to them, peace be with you, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The very first thing that Jesus wanted to do was to give his friends the Holy Spirit. The last thing he does before he goes to the cross is hint, guys, there's coming a day. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, it's going to be so amazing. There's going to be a day coming up where you're going to get every resource that I have. You're going to get that very same resource. This person is going to be able to teach you everything you need to know. This person on your down days is going to be able to comfort you. This person is going to lead you into every revelation that you ever would ever need. This person is going to be able to do everything for you. And his name's, I can't tell you. But as soon as he's raised from the dead, he says, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. Isn't that amazing? And then a few days later, because there's 40 days of Jesus sort of in and out and appearing and not appearing, 10 appearances of Jesus, 5 of them on Easter Sunday, 5 of them over the next 39 days. And on the last day, on day 40, now they don't know it's day 40. Well, they know it's day 40, but they don't know it's the last day that Jesus is going to be with them. And he says, guys, ladies, because there's ladies there as well, there's 500 of his followers, and he says, you have to wait in Jerusalem and pray, because you need more of the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus personally put his hands on you today and said, be filled with the Holy Spirit, is that going to be a good thing? Go like this, yes. Do you think something may happen in your physical body? Possible, but probably not for everybody. If John Arnott was prayed for by Jesus, John may not fall. He may, we don't know. Well, when we get to heaven, we'll all line up and watch that. That'd be a good thing. Write that down, Sander. We'll all gather around John Arnott and have Jesus come and pray for John and see if he falls down or not. Because if you don't know our founding pastor, he rarely exhibits anything externally. He goes, okay, that was nice. But Jesus breathed on them. And we don't know. The Bible doesn't say what happened. It just says that he did it. But then he says in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, you need more of the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus gives you the Holy Spirit and he says you also need to have a second dose, why would you need to have a second dose of the Holy Spirit if Jesus himself gave you the Holy Spirit? Well, that's a good question, Pastor. Never thought of that. Can I tell you why? You need more. That's simple. You have a leak in you somewhere. Did you know that you have a leak? And somehow, as life goes on, the anointing just sort of drains out of us, and we need to keep getting topped up. We need to be, just like your car that you drive needs have a full tank of gas from time to time. You can drive for a good period of time, but eventually you're going to run out of gas unless you get more gasoline. And the Holy Spirit likes to come. And the other amazing reason why we need more of the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit of God is eternal, just like Jesus is eternal, just like Father God is eternal. There is always something new and something more that the Holy Spirit has to give. And just like the angels go around the throne 24/7 for eternity, since the angels were created, as they go around the throne, why do they say holy, holy, holy? Not just because God is without sin, but they're going, oh my goodness, I never saw that before. And they go around again, oh, I never saw, oh, holy, oh. And they go, oh. And they've been doing that since they've been created. Why? Because your God, the God that you serve, is glorious. There's always something new and fresh and new revelations. And that same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus for all of his life here on planet Earth wants to be with you and me. And Jesus said, if you're thirsty, it's free. And he said, just come to me and drink. I'd like you to stand up and put your hand on your belly button. Because Jesus said, out of your innermost being, rivers of living water are going to come. So that would seem to be your belly button. That's your innermost being right there. Just close your eyes. Come, Holy Spirit. You need to say that for yourself. Say, Holy Spirit, come and tickle my tummy right now. Let those springs begin to come. Ooh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I want you to picture yourself sitting, or not sitting, but standing in that room with one of those, with the 10 disciples. Remember, Thomas skipped church one Sunday. He wasn't there. But there's 10 of them there. I want you to picture them in fear, and you're one of them. Huddling around, what are we going to do? I haven't written my will yet, probably should do that. You're thinking of bad things, and all of a sudden Jesus is there, and it's like, oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, Jesus. And after you've calmed down, he comes up to you personally, and he goes, and he breathes on you. Can you imagine what your body felt as the Holy Spirit came into you? Can you imagine what was happening in your mind as you're trying to figure out, why am I feeling, why do I feel warm? Why do I feel, why am I shaking? Why am I? Shoo. Holy Spirit, come. Now, not everybody exhibits the Holy Spirit on the outside. The outside is not the big deal, friends. The inside's the big deal. I'd like you to look to your left. Actually, not everyone look to your left. Half of you look to your left. Figure it out. And the person beside you, just reach over to one person and put your hand on top of their hand. Put your hand on top of their hand and say, more for my friend right now. Let those rivers come. Let the rivers come. Ooh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I want you to picture that little river, that little fountain becoming a big stream, and just the Holy Spirit entering you again today, filling you, filling you, filling you. Ooh. And again, you don't have to feel anything to be receiving. You just need to agree with the Bible. And the Bible says that everyone who asks gets, everyone who knocks gets, everyone who seeks finds. And Jesus goes on to say how much more our Father wants to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. It's in the Bible. We are allowed to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Shoo. Okay, turn to a different person now. Put your hand on their tummy. Don't be afraid to put your hand on their tummy. Right there. That's where the Holy Spirit likes to sit. Go to a different person if you've not gone to a different one. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, picture Jesus breathing on you right now. Oh.